Welcome to the Amazing with Grace podcast, a spiritually relevant space for people like you who want to be excellent but not perfect. I am your host, Dr. Q Perry, a board-certified and Christian psychologist based in Dallas, Texas. Although I want this show to be a helpful and inspirational resource for you, it is not meant to substitute for a relationship or treatment with a licensed mental health provider. For more information and additional resources, please visit our website at www.amazingwithgrace.com. Let's get into the show. Welcome to another episode of the Amazing with Grace podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. If this is your first time joining us, welcome. And if it's not your first time joining us, then welcome back. We're so glad to have you tune in with us today. As you can tell by the title, we will be talking about achievement fatigue. We are at the start of April, which means we have just passed the first quarter of 2021. I know that many of you are probably revisiting your goals, reviewing your goals, your progress towards your goals. You're checking off some wins. You're checking off some things from your to-do list, and you're already starting to figure out what is next for this quarter and for the remainder of the year, and for some of us, for the rest of our lives. I thought it would be a really good time to talk about achievement fatigue and how you can avoid it. Achievement fatigue is typically understood as this anticlimactic phase of achieving a goal, but then feeling kind of empty, kind of feeling like what now once you've achieved that goal, because for so long, sometimes it's been weeks, months, or years, and you've worked towards a goal, and once you finally get it, sometimes it's not exactly what you anticipated. Has that ever happened to you? Part of that is what I think is due to effective forecasting. I talk about this quite a bit, but this is the idea where we try to predict how we will feel when something happens. Once I get this job, then I'm going to feel this way. Once I get married, I'm going to feel this way. Once I have kids, I will feel this way. Once I get this degree, I will feel this way. But then once we actually get there, it's not exactly how we thought it would be. But part of achievement fatigue is not just feeling kind of blah once you get to the goal. You have to think about all that you've done in order to get to the goal, how much energy you have spent, how much time you've spent, how much money you've spent. And for some careers, even blood, sweat, and tears to get to a particular goal. And so it makes sense that sometimes the way our bodies and minds are designed, that once we get to that goal, we can feel fatigued. We can feel unmotivated to get to the next thing. But I also want to talk to the group of us who may not be at the goal that we're aspiring to just yet, but we're still running up against that roadblock, because I think achievement fatigue can happen on the way to achievement. It can happen on the way to you getting to that goal. And I know that there's nothing like the natural high of finally reaching a goal. I want to caution you that there are some things that I'd like you to pay attention to as you're striving for these goals, so that you can enjoy your life on the way and you can avoid some of these roadblocks that lead to achievement fatigue. Now, I want to say that achievement fatigue is not the same thing as being physically tired, although that can be a component of it, but it's not the same thing as being physically tired. One thing that I notice when I ask people how they're doing or how they're feeling, one of the first things they'll tell me is tired. I'm tired. I'm tired. I'm tired. And I typically go in behind that answer and ask, do you mean physically or do you mean mentally and emotionally? And it's important for us to make that distinction because when we are physically tired, rest and sleep and downtime typically revives us, it restores us, it replenishes us. But when we are experiencing achievement fatigue, sleep helps, but it doesn't quite fix the emotional space. It doesn't quite fix the spiritual space. It doesn't quite fix and restore the mental space. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. First, we'll talk about some signs so you can recognize some common ways that achievement fatigue manifests. Because if this happens to you, or if you're already in it, this can be quite confusing, right? Because you've set your mind on a goal, you've worked hard to get there, and once you get there, you're thinking, what is wrong with me? Why do I feel this way? This is definitely not what I thought it was going to be. Or it only lasted for so long, and now you're trying to set your sight on another goal, but you just can't muster up the energy and the motivation to work towards that. I see that happening all the time. Like, let's say, for example, you've set your goal to be a medical doctor. Well, this is a long road, right? You first got to graduate high school, then you've got to go to undergrad. But it's not just going to undergrad. You're enrolled in some very rigorous science courses, and you've got to prepare to take the MCAT. Once you take the MCAT, you've got to do medical school admissions interviews. You finally get to medical school, and then your journey begins. You go through medical school, then you have to do a residency. You've got examinations throughout this process, and once you finally get that full-time job as a medical doctor, you might feel excited. There's a lot of prestige that comes with it. There's the money. There's a lot of privilege. There's a lot of everything. But sometimes people feel discontent. Same thing can happen with athletes. You spend your whole career trying to get to that moment of securing the contract. Hours and hours and hours on the court or on the field, in the gym, preparing your body and your mind to get to this one opportunity. You finally get this opportunity, and it's like you might hit a wall. So I'm here to help you work through achievement fatigue because I want you to be your best. And I know that God wants that even more for you. So go ahead and grab a paper and pen or open your notes app and grab a drink and let us dive in. I will be covering some behavior and mindset that lead to achievement fatigue. Now, before I go into these, I want to say that I don't want you to hear one of these and run with that and say, oh my goodness, it means that I am experiencing achievement fatigue or that I will experience achievement fatigue. I want you to listen to all of these and not just in quantity, but look at the quality of them and really tune in. This is where prayer comes in because God will reveal these areas to you. All right, so this first one is pushing yourself to the limits day in and day out. I know our society is a go-getter society. It's a goal-getter society, G-O-A-L. It is a hustle hard, sleep when I die, rest is for losers, no break zone type of culture. And oftentimes we can get pulled into that. We start grinding it out. And when you push yourself to the limits day in and day out, what do you think will happen to your mind, body, and spirit over time? And when we get into that mode of pushing ourselves to the limits, we usually don't make time for rest, and we usually don't make time for fun. And it's hard to turn off our mind. Even when we are physically resting, our minds are still going. And that's one of the common complaints that I hear from highly successful people, that it's, I can't turn my mind off. It's always going about what I could have done better and what is the next thing that I need to go to. So this first one is pushing yourself to the limit. Another mindset that leads to achievement fatigue is feeling pressure to stay on in order to be relevant. Now, I know that some industries, depending on what your career is, there is a method to marketing, right? You have to constantly be in front of your audience. Right? I know that there's a formula for this and all of that. I'm not negating the reality of that part of our work. But the operative term here is pressure. You feel pressure to stay on in order to be relevant. And that pressure is rooted in fear. As Christians, we are not to operate from a spirit of fear. Oh, I can't go on vacation because if I do, then my competitor might grab my subscribers. Oh, I can't spend 2 hours working in this other area because this will happen or that will happen, right? There's a lot of pressure. And when we put a lot of pressure on ourselves, or when we allow other people to put pressure on ourselves, we will wind up fatigued because our human strength is limited. So we're operating out of our own strengths due to the pressure that we're feeling. Another observation I've made that leads to achievement fatigue is pursuing the wrong goal. And you might be thinking, how can I be pursuing the wrong goal? Well, a lot of times what we have accomplished, we may not be aware of it, but we might be trying to accomplish something to get the applause of someone else. And that can even include our spouses, our parents, our family members. And this makes sense because I've counseled so many people who are very accomplished, but they feel unfulfilled. They're at the top of their games, but they feel empty. They feel dissatisfied. They feel lost. And when we start peeling back the layers, it's, well, I did this because this is the career that my family is in. And so I'm expected to take over the family business. Well, my dad wanted me to be in sports and I didn't want to let him down. So this, here I am. My mom would be so crushed if I chose another path. And so when we let other people's goals become our goals without any thought, any prayer, any intention, that can lead to achievement fatigue. Another mindset that can lead to achievement fatigue is frustration. This one especially comes up when other people don't acknowledge your progress or success. You work so hard and you expect other people to cheer you on. You expect an attaboy. You expect an attagirl. You expect a pat on the back. You expect a tweet, a post, a reshare. You expect a gift. You expect something from other people when you have made some progress. But I'm encouraging you to think about it deeply, because usually our motives are wrong. We might be trying to prove something to other people. We might be working towards a goal to impress other people. Colossians chapter 3 verses 23 and 24 and the New Living Translation says, to work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ. When we are working so hard to impress other people, When we're working so hard to get the attention, approval, and admiration for other people, and we don't get it, that can feel frustrating. And you can become fatigued because you're working at these goals that are not rooted and grounded with any real substance, any true value. I also see a lack of motivation to work towards goals. When people are headed towards achievement fatigue or they're already in achievement fatigue, they don't feel motivated to work towards their goals anymore. It's like, well, I pretty much accomplished what I wanted to accomplish, and this didn't really bring me anything, so I don't really know that I should set any other goals. Or you might have goals, but you're finding it so hard to take steps in that direction. You're finding it so hard to produce, perform, play, practice even at the level that you need and want to. No matter how much you're telling yourself to push through, keep going, grind it out, you can do it, you're noticing that you just can't make the progress. You just can't get going. You just can't keep up the momentum that you need or that you once had. So pay attention to a decrease in your motivation. Another one is that you never feel accomplished, and that's because you're likely moving the bar higher and higher based on what other people are doing or on the world standards of what you should be doing, and that's in air quotes. And you don't celebrate your accomplishments because the world says, okay, that's great, but then the next thing is this. Oh, that's great. The goal is to make $50,000. Okay, then your next goal should be $100,000. And then the next goal should be half a mil, then you should be at $3 million in revenue. And there's nothing wrong with goals. But if you notice, the motivations can be different and the mindset is different when we are headed towards achievement fatigue. Our mind is not in a good place. So I'm definitely not saying that you should scrap all of your goals or that you shouldn't have goals. What I'm encouraging you to do is pay attention to these signs, these mindsets, these behaviors that lead you to achievement fatigue. You'll notice thoughts like, when I get that degree, then I will fill in the blank. When I get the job, then I will fill in the blank. I will be so glad when I get fill in the blank. So this can be a degree, a job, a promotion, a particular account at work, a particular project, more followers, a husband, a wife, having a baby, whatever those things are that are deep in your heart. There's nothing wrong with those desires, but we have to subject them to the Lord. Galatians chapter 6, verse 4, the New Living Translation says, pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. I think this especially shows up when we accomplish a particular goal, and instead of celebrating that goal, we start looking around to think, oh, well, other people are actually a lot further ahead than me, so maybe what I've accomplished is not that big of a deal. And so we don't even stop to celebrate and appreciate our accomplishments because we're already on to the next thing. Believe it or not, I've even seen this show up in relationships. Sometimes a woman has worked so hard to get this man to propose to her, and she's pulled out all of the stops. And once they get married, she is exhausted. And so then, quite obviously, the husband is saying she doesn't do the same things that she used to do. Similarly, sometimes men can work so hard wining and dining a woman and putting all of his effort into getting a woman. And then once he finally gets her, then he can sometimes feel exhausted because he has not paced himself, or once he finally gets married, then he is exhausted. And then the wife is saying, well, he doesn't take me on dates anymore. He doesn't take me on trips anymore. Same thing. Sometimes a couple can work so hard at wanting to have a baby or have another baby or buy a house that it's hard for them to appreciate the now. And so once they finally get that thing, that person, they can feel exhausted. And so these are just some common attitudes and mindsets and actions or inactions that can lead to achievement fatigue. But I want to share with you 5 tips on how you can avoid achievement fatigue, and or if you're already feeling fatigued, these tips will be just as effective. If anybody has been to my professional website, drqperry.com, on the homepage, there's a little box that says Get to Know Dr. Perry. And an interesting fact about me is on there. And one of my career crushes is commercial pilots. If anybody knows me, I have always been so intrigued by airplanes. I love the mechanics of airplanes. I love the training required and the expertise required to become a pilot. So speaking of goals, that is on my list. Not to become a commercial pilot, but to fly a plane one day. That is certainly on my bucket list. I love airplanes. And one of the interesting facts about flying a plane is that you have to determine your destination first, right? And then you have to identify the amount of fuel you need to get to that destination. So there's a certain amount of fuel that you need just to get to the destination alone. But you also have to consider the weather conditions. And there's also something called fuel reserve. And that's the amount of fuel you need in addition to the initial fuel that you needed for your destination. And that fuel reserve depends on whether you're flying in the day or night. And so there's rules around that. But I saw a quote from airfactsjournal.com, and it sums up perfectly what fuel reserve is. And it says, the intent of reserve fuel is to accommodate the unexpected. Now, I'm pretty sure you can see where I'm going with this. We can use flying as a metaphor for our lives. And so this isn't even part of the tips. But as you know, anytime I talk to you about strategies, the first thing I tell you to do is to pray. Prayer is your flight plan. Prayer is going to tell you what you need to do and when you need to do it. The first pre-tip I have for you is prayer. And then that first tip is to evaluate your destination to see what you need. So this means that we're not just setting goals and we're going full steam ahead towards these goals. But setting goals also requires us to evaluate the goals. Does it make sense to pursue this goal now? How long will it take me to get to this goal? What will I need? How am I going to define success as I reach this goal or once I get to this goal? If we're using this same plane metaphor, we can't be so focused on the destination that we have not looked at the weather conditions. This means the conditions of our own bodies, minds, and spirits, the relationships that we have around us. You have to know what you need before you get on this journey, and you have to constantly be reevaluating your fuel reserve based on the conditions that are around you. And I also want to say how we define success will make up a big part of how achievement fatigue is formed. And if you want some additional information, I will put a link to the podcast that I had about how we can truly define success. I'll be sure to put that in the show notes. So this first tip is to evaluate your destination to see what you need. The second tip is to train your mind and body to rest and recover. An interesting thing about flying is that pilots have minimum rest times and maximum flight times. Did you catch that? They have minimum rest times and maximum flight times. So to me, that formula is set to maximize the pilot's skill at their peak because rest is built into the work equation. Genesis chapter 2, verse 2 talks about how God rested on the seventh day after he finished his work of creation, that God wants us to keep the Sabbath. And when I say keep the Sabbath, I'm not specifically saying you should rest on Saturday, you should rest on Friday, you should rest on Sunday. Those individual pieces don't matter so much as long as you are observing it. Because there will be seasons in your life where, let's say, maybe you are required to work on a Sunday or you're required to work on a Friday or Saturday. It's less about the day and more about your mindset and the posture of your heart. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 14 in the New Living Translation says, "But the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your oxen and donkeys and other livestock, and any foreigners living among you. All your male and female servants must rest as you do." Now, this is going to take a different shape and form depending on where you are in your life. But the point I'm making with bringing up this scripture is that as Christians, we model for other people that we don't have to be part of the hustle and grind culture because we rest in the Lord and he blesses the other 6 days of our work. So we're modeling for our children. We're modeling for our family members. We're modeling for our friends, the people who work with us and for us, that there is a model formula that maximizes productivity, and that includes rest. So the second tip is to train your mind and body to rest and recover. I've also done a podcast on Sabbath rest, and I will also be sure to link that in our show notes if you want more information about resting. The third tip is don't do too much. Now, I know that our society pushes us being the best version of ourselves. And I think we can unconsciously interpret that to mean do everything now. Do as much as you can right now. And so then it's no wonder that we become fatigued either on the way to achieving the goal or once we achieve the goal. So we have to be mindful of trying to fix or accomplish too many areas at one time. Now, I'm not saying you can't have physical goals and spiritual goals, relationship goals and financial goals all at the same time. But what I am encouraging you to do is to think about the mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual energy exerted for each area in order for you to perform your best. If we think about our plane metaphor, you notice that planes don't make a whole lot of stops like buses do. They're not all over their place. They're not stopping here and stopping here and stopping here and stopping here and stopping here. They're not trying to do too much. They're not trying to go around the world in one flight. And so for us, this also means we're not trying to do a full-time job and, oh, I'm going to go start a t-shirt company and then I'm going to get another certification right now and I'm also serving in ministry and I'm going to be the president of this organization and then I'm going to be on this particular board and I'm trying to manage my love life and then I also have to help my dad manage his medical appointments and then I'm also working on my credit. Now, I'm not making light or minimizing whatsoever any of your goals, because I see myself in this. What I'm encouraging us to do is to be prayerful about not doing too much. This is where prayer comes in, because all of these things are great aspirations, but God will give you grace, and grace is that divine enablement to manage all of those things. If it is purposed for you to do all of those things right now in this season, God will give you His grace to do it. We're not doing it in our own strength. But I think that achievement fatigue can come along when we are trying to do too much at one time, and it is not time for us to do all of those things at once. So the third tip is not to do too much. The fourth tip is to celebrate your accomplishments. I remember when I graduated with my terminal master's degree, and because my original and long-term plan was to get a PhD in psychology, I don't think I really celebrated when I earned my master's degree. And what got my attention that I wasn't celebrating it is when people would congratulate me and tell me that that's a job well done, when people would celebrate the fact that I earned a master's degree with a 4.0, I noticed my responses were, it's okay. I mean, it's not my end goal, so it's okay. Or I might say something like, thank you, but that's not my final goal. That's not my final destination. What is wrong with that mindset when we can't even stop and celebrate our accomplishment? Celebrating your wins does not mean that you don't have other goals. It means, God, I'm grateful for what you and I have accomplished together for right now. Let me pause and celebrate myself. And this can take on any form that you want it to. I know some people don't like to draw a lot of attention to themselves, so I'm not suggesting that you put every single win on social media. I'm not suggesting that you take yourself to Hawaii every time that you raise your credit score 1 point, right? You have to be realistic. But what I am saying is not to ignore, not to diminish, minimize, overlook your accomplishments, because it's not your end goal. So that's the fourth tip. And the fifth and final tip fits with the fourth tip, and that is, don't ignore the journey. So I know that we are celebrating the wins, we're celebrating the accomplishments, but we also don't want to ignore the journey. Going back to our plane metaphor, let's say we are planning to fly somewhere. We can't be so focused on the destination that we haven't looked at weather conditions, we haven't looked at the conditions of the plane. We're just flying the plane and we haven't even paid attention that the engine is dying. We haven't paid attention that we actually didn't get enough fuel. We don't have enough fuel reserve. We just know that we are going to our destination and we're going to get there at all costs. We don't care if the plane is in poor condition once we arrive. We don't care if we have deprived people of oxygen that's on the plane. We don't care if we have injured or killed our co-pilot. I know that that's an extreme example, but I think it makes the point that we cannot ignore the journey. We can't be so focused on our goal that we are not paying attention to our mental health, our physical health, that we're not engaged fully and authentically to our relationships. Because what sense does it make for us to get to the top and we've pushed everybody out of the way to get there? Or we're in such poor mental and physical health that we don't even truly enjoy being at the top. There's a quote that circulates, and I've heard it in various ways, but the gist is that people spend all their health trying to get money and then all their money trying to get health. That is a powerful, powerful reality. And so we don't want to expend our mental and physical health trying to get to the top, or now that we're at the top, we just don't feel good physically or mentally or spiritually. So I hope that those 5 tips will help you on your journey so that you can avoid achievement fatigue. Let us move now into our prayer time. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to come together on this podcast today. We know that your word says that you have good plans for our lives, and that there's nothing wrong with us setting goals, but let us be wise in our goal setting. Let us consult you for our flight path towards these goals. Let us not ignore our mental health. Let us not ignore our spiritual and physical health or our relationships on the way to reaching these goals. Help us to righteously celebrate our wins and be mindful of what to lay down, what to pick up, what destinations to stop at, which ones should we avoid altogether. Help us to train our minds and bodies to rest in you. And it is in your Son's name that we pray. Amen. I pray that this episode has been helpful to you. If you believe that it has been helpful to you, if you think there's anyone else who can benefit from listening to this, please feel free to share this and also leave us a review and a rating so that more people can find out about what we're doing over here at the Amazing with Grace podcast. Until next time, take care.